As we continue at least for one more week on my on-again, off-again study of the Psalms that I've been doing for the last 2 years, do two, three, or four, and then take a break and then come back and do some more. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May He remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with the saving strength of His right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. And as we try to discern its truths in this passage this evening, we pray that you would speak to us in your grace, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Psalms speak of Jesus. Psalm 2 talks of the victory of the Messiah over the raging of the nations who are set against the rule of God. Psalm 22 speaks of the nation of Israel crucifying the Messiah. Psalm 110 speaks of the Messiah's royal priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. And in this psalm this evening, we take a look at a blessing on the rule of the Messiah and of his victory in battle. Now, while the psalm had in its immediate context the worship of God in Jerusalem and a prayer of blessing on Israel's warrior king just before a coming battle, and in this case being written by David, a blessing on him as before he had to go into battle. And the victorious, its prophetic application, however, is to the victorious Jesus who sits right now ruling from heaven at God's right hand. He is ruling from that heavenly throne. In 1 Corinthians 15, the 25th verse, we have this wonderful statement in that resurrection chapter. 15:25, "For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet." He must reign until all enemies are defeated. And in a passage that I consider very similar to this psalm, in Revelation, the 5th chapter, in verses 11 through 13, "And then I looked, and I heard a voice of many angels around the throne, and living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and the thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and blessing and honor.' And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, 'Blessed, blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" Wondrous praises to the Messiah, ruling King over all things. As the Old Testament saints were encouraged to bless the rule of their king, especially before battle, with the pagan nations. And as the New Testament saints in their pilgrimage in this world under the rule of the pagan nations were encouraged by the rule of Christ at the right hand of God in heaven, so we also need to reflect and pray for the present rule of Christ as we look coming forward to his coming victory. We are in a spiritual battle. Jesus is our victorious King. He is ruler in our hearts, our homes, our church. And so we also pray for the victory of our glorious Prince. This 20th Psalm is similar to the blessings given to kings in this world, even yet in England, as they sing to the tune of America. We know it as "My Country, 'Tis of Thee," God Save the Queen, or God Save the King. That's really what this psalm is about. God Save the King. He's got a coming battle. There's forces arrayed against him. Save him. Bless him. Keep him on his throne. Psalm 20 was sung as sacrifices were being offered before the coming of that battle. And so in the early church, this psalm, traditionally in the early centuries of the church, was sung regularly in worship when the church interceded for the emperor. And it is sung by us also in praise of our Messiah, Jesus, who leads the church in victory over all the forces of this world that are arrayed against him and against it. This psalm breaks into three sections, as I have it this evening. One is a prayer on the king's behalf in verses 1 through 5. The second part is confidence in the prayer being answered. And then conclusion in verse 9. A prayer in the king's behalf. Keep in mind that the original context of this psalm was David being referred to. But those worshipers also look forward to that promised Messiah to come, of which David and the other kings of Israel were types and shadows of that perfect king to come, that coming anointed one. And for us now, this many a thousand years later, this psalm is a hymn asking God the Father to bless the work of the rule of Jesus, his Son, as he brings all enemies under his feet. There are here 8 petitions for the king. The first one, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Even though this was written by David, I couldn't help but remember, as I was reading this verse, David's descendant Hezekiah and his prayer as he has the forces of the king of Syria against him. And in 2 Kings 19, picking up at verse 14, we have this prayer of the king who's dependent upon God for victory against these forces arrayed against him. 2 Kings 19:14. Then Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and that's from the pagan king that's arrayed against them, and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim. Now that's the mercy seat. with the cherubim on either side and their wings connected, and the Shekinah glory of God dwelt there. You are God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods in the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of man's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kings of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. Can you hear in those words the distress of this king? Can you see the fear as well as the confidence as these pagans come to the very wall of Jerusalem and tell the people on the wall that they're all going to be destroyed if they listen to their king? And this letter is presented to the king that he should give up and surrender lest he be destroyed with all his people. And he comes with this confidence that God is God even over Assyria. And he asks for God to save him. What an appropriate thing it would have been for this psalm, Psalm 20, to be sung with these various words. Starting this psalm, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. And Jesus was answered in the day of his trouble. As he was facing that cross in his high priestly prayer, he called out to the Father, saying, I thank you that you've heard me. Glorify your Son. When Jesus went to that cross and he faced down that enemy Satan, the king of this world, the Lord answered him in the day of trouble. And you and I, and Jesus' church, when we face trouble, the God, the Lord of our King, will answer us also, because he answers his Messiah in the day of trouble. The second petition is, may the name of the God of Jacob defend you. The word defend means to be set on high. It's to be lifted up out of trouble. And so they're saying, may the Lord lift you up above the fray. May he lift you up into the heavenly realms for protection. Jesus indeed is set on high. Isn't that wonderful? And the day of Jesus' trouble, when he was being crucified on that cross, and then he rose in victory, and then he ascended to God's right hand, Jesus is exalted out of the troubles of this world. Jesus is exalted at God's right hand. In fulfillment of this psalm, may the Lord, the God of Jacob, lift you up out of trouble. And we will also be lifted up out of trouble, because we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who's been lifted up out of trouble. And there he is at the Father's right hand, interceding for us. And we shall be lifted up into the heavenlies too, spiritually in our minds and hearts, to protect us in this world. And eventually in eternity, we shall be lifted up. Because of the anointed, because of the Messiah. He who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be lifted up. And then he says, may he send you help from his sanctuary. That's where the worship was going on. That's where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. When Israel had the ark and the tent of meeting, the priests would carry the ark as the first vanguard of the army of Israel in the battle. And then the troops would follow, and God would be at the head of the forces defeating the enemy for the nation of Israel. And they're calling on David, and in the worship of the temple, they're calling on God to help King David from that sanctuary where God is being worshipped. And now we're being helped, not from the copy and shadow of the sanctuary that was on this earth, but in the real sanctuary that is in heaven. And in Hebrews, the 4th chapter, picking up verse 14, passage that's probably very familiar to any of us who have needed comfort in trial. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Let us come to that mercy seat that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He does remember his Messiah and those who are in the Messiah from the sanctuary, as this psalm says. May the Lord strengthen you out of Zion, this Psalm 20 continues. And indeed, we are strengthened in the Lord. He is our strength. We have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion. We have come to that place where we are strengthened by God. And then verse 3, this wonderful blessing on the Messiah, this wonderful prayer in his behalf, may he remember all your offerings. Now, we think of David giving his offerings, but those offerings were types and shadows of the offering of Jesus, the Messiah himself. And has been pointed out, as Pastor Ted has studied in the book of Leviticus, all those sacrifices are fulfilled in Jesus Christ himself. We have no condemnation. We have peace with God through him. And our Heavenly Father does remember Jesus' sacrifice for us. And may we remember his sacrifice bringing us peace with God. May he remember your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, your sacrifice for sin. And isn't that wonderful that this evening, as we call on God, that God remembers the sacrifice of the Messiah Jesus, fulfillment of this psalm. May he grant you your heart's desire, verse 4. And that's not any heart's desire. That's the heart's desire to do God's will and to be his royal king and to lead his faithful nation into victory and fulfill all your purpose, all your counsels. And there's a wonderful verse in Ephesians, the 1st chapter and the 11th verse. Ephesians 1:11. In him, that's in Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. There's the counsel of the Messiah. And Psalm 20 is saying here, may the Lord grant you all your counsels, fulfill all your counsels, and indeed all the counsels of the Messiah, Christ Jesus, are fulfilled in the purposes of God. Wonderful. All these blessings on their king as he goes into battle, all these blessings fully fulfilled in Jesus Christ and are ours in him. And then the people in the worship, after asking these blessings on their king, say in verse 5, "We will rejoice in your salvation. We will rejoice in the salvation of our king, of his deliverance in battle. We will rejoice in his victory." Isn't that what we rejoice in this evening? The victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over sin and death. "And in the name of our God, we will set up your banners." Now, we don't have the worship of those banners as they did, but in the sanctuary there would be the setting up of the royal banners, the setting up of the banner of the king. But what is our banner? Isaiah says that the Messiah is our banner, and we will rally around him. And so Jesus is not only the one who saved, he himself is his own banner. And then the final blessing in the midst of their rejoicing: "May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. May the Lord grant all your prayers." And in Jesus Christ, all our prayers are answered. All the petitions we give are answered in him. And verse 6 is the response of the king to what is going on in worship. David here writes his own response. He writes his own blessings for worship, the blessings that he wishes upon him and be granted in worship and by the offerings offered. And now in verse 6, he gives his assurance because the sacrifice has been given and God has been sought. He says confidently, "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed, saves his Messiah. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." David says, "Now I can go into battle with confidence because I know in the worship of our God, these petitions have been asked in my behalf through holy sacrifice, and there will be victory." And Jesus, before he was crucified, said, "And after 3 days, I will rise again from the dead." Jesus also, before the battle, knew that he would be victorious in the end and rise victorious. And so these are not only the words of David. These are the words of Jesus, who was answered from heaven by his heavenly Father with the saving strength of his right hand. And they respond. The worshipers respond. The holy choir responds and says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses." Wasn't that what Sennacherib was trusting in? Wasn't that what the Philistines were trusting in? God told his people in the law, do not multiply horses or chariots. You're not to use them like Egypt does. I don't want my people trusting in horses and chariots. You are to trust in me. You're not to trust in military might, or you're not to trust in advanced weapons and all these things. You're not even to use them. You're not to copy the world in the way it battles. You're not to trust in horses and chariots. You are to trust in that Ark of the Covenant and the God who dwelt in the Shekinah glory on the cherubim, as it leads you in the battle. Charioteers are not to lead you in the battle. God is to lead you in the battle. And echoing that thought in the law, and echoing that all these chariots were arrayed against the kings of Israel, they, in defiance to the world, and defiance to their chariots and horses and superior warcraft, say, "Some trust in chariots
and summon horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, despite their chariots and horses. But we have risen, and we stand upright. This just isn't a victory psalm of King David. This is the victory song of the Messiah of all generations and those who are part of that messianic kingdom. They will bow down. We have risen and stand upright. And then the conclusion. The worshipers call out, as they would be singing maybe tonight in England, "God save the Queen." Verse 9, "Save, O Lord." And may the King, the ultimate King, the King of Kings, the King of Heaven, may He answer us when we call. We too call out to God to speed forward the rule of Jesus and to answer us when we pray to this end. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. For to You is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Believer, don't be discouraged. The victory is Jesus's as the anointed of God. And His victory is our victory through faith. In worship, public and private, call on God. Trust that the rule of King Jesus will lead to the ultimate triumph over all the power, because to Him is given power, all power, in heaven and on earth. And for any who have not yet surrendered to the rule of Christ, because He's going to be victorious and all enemies are going to be put down, fly the flag of surrender. Fly that white flag. You can't defeat Jesus. No matter who you are in history, no matter how you shake your fist at God, no matter what power you try to array against He and His church, fly that flag of surrender. Yield your heart in allegiance to Him. Seek peace with the coming conquering King while you may. For He came in peace to die on the cross, but when He returns, He's coming with the angels of heaven to put down all His enemies and to bring His subjects into their kingdom. Let us pray. O King Jesus, our allegiance is given to You. And we pray that next time we read this song, that we will not only see David and the worship as he's wearing his warrior clothing, kneeling before You and sacrifices being made, requesting that You be blessed in battle and heard from the heavens, but that we might see the victory of our Jesus Christ and the worship in heaven and all these answers coming to Him and to us who are His subjects. And Lord, when we're discouraged, and when the chariots and horses around us are causing us to fear, help us to read this psalm and in defiance say, but we trust in the Lord our God.